At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
Robots Radio. Games. Lore. Stories. Community. Just press play. Welcome to the Fallout Lorecast, the podcast that explores the boundaries of our knowledge about the world of Fallout. Wastelanders, Vault Dwellers, welcome back to the Fallout Lorecast. This is your host, Tom, or Robots, and I am here with a wonderful group of patrons this week because it's the end of February. It's the 28th as we record this, the last day of the month on the shortest month of the year, and we've gotten together some of our patrons to discuss a very interesting topic this week. This started out as the new patch for Fallout 76 is coming out, and they've got some new mutations for some of the events in the game, and so that got us talking about like new mutations, what mutations would you add to the game, and then some people were like, well, I don't really play 76, but could we expand it? You know, like, let's expand the topic into something a little bit more than that. So today, I've gotten together our patrons in order to discuss what things we would add, whether that be to an update to Fallout 76 or the next Fallout game. So this could be mutations, powers of some sort, gear, weapons, armor, anything. A special kind of monster that you'd want to see in the game. What is Fallout missing that you think should be added into the game and would make it an even more enjoyable experience? So we've got our patrons here with us today, and I'm going to read out all of your names, and people keep disappearing as we're sitting here. I think people are having internet issues, but hopefully they'll be able to join us again. I'm going to name everybody, and on the count of three, you guys all unmute at the same time and make your best super mutant. Say hello like a super mutant. Here we go. We've got Lil Green, Sebastian, Bennett, Nova, Maverick, and Germinator. And Maverick and Germinator keep popping in and out. But here we go. Ready? Three. Make sure you're unmuted. Two. One.
I don't want to see tiny people.
Man, you guys are all very similar in your super mutant voices. That's great. What if we just talk like super mutants for the rest of the episode? What do you think about that?
Bad idea.
My voice would hurt.
Me think that terrible idea.
Yeah, there you go. Well, welcome back, everybody. This is going to be fun. I know some of you guys have been thinking about this for a while as we've been conversing about this throughout the day. Some of you, this idea might be brand new because you're just jumping in on this. Who wants to start us off? Who has an idea of something they'd like to add to a future game? Is there an idea that you have that makes it feel like, oh, this is obviously a thing that should have been in there from the start, or this would make the game so much better? Nova, do you want to go first?
Yeah, I'd like to.
Kick us off. What are you thinking?
Okay, so I live next to a body of a big lake, and over the summer we often do catch a massive fish, and so Like whenever I am over, like, especially in West Virginia, when I'm playing Fallout 76, I'm going across, especially in the mire, I'm constantly thinking, where the heck are all the fish?
Yeah, right.
And so,
right. Well, there are fish in Fallout 4.
Yes, there are fish that you can't catch, though, and they're not actually enemies, though. And so,
right.
And this is inspired by all the mass mutations that happened with all the other animals. And so I was thinking of a creature called Lunkers. Lunkers in redneck terms and hick terms are massive fish, typically catfish. However, the Lunker could also be a bass. And so I was thinking, just like how mire lurks are like three different species that are combined into one general term, Lunkers could be multiple different, any predatory fish, but the Wastelanders can refer to them as Lunkers though. And so, and they will attack anything that swims in the water. And so it adds another element of danger that pops up randomly, like while you're traversing water. This especially would be in, you know, West Virginia on the coastline of Fallout 4 and Fallout 4 and 7 or Fallout 3. within like the lake in New Vegas. I'm blanking on the name right now. So mutated bass, catfish, crappie, sharks, gar,
any large dangerous fish. Okay, so
yes,
I got some questions for you. Are these welcome back, Germinator. We already started. Nova says that we should have lunkers.
Yes, lunker.
Lunker with no S.
Well, lunker is plural. Okay. Lunker is individual.
Lunker. Lunker or lunkers, which are basically giant fish. Now, are these oversized because of the mutation? Are they like some catfish get really big, right? And obviously sharks can get really big. Bass can get big, pretty big. Are these even bigger than the biggest ones we've seen?
It would really depend on the species. So
What do you think would work for the games from like a gameplay perspective? Like if you were to go to a body of water in Fallout 76.
And so I think catfish and bass would work best for this. And so catfish would be like submerged underneath, you know, fallen trees or make burrows within riverbanks, and they would hide out there. And
caves on the shorelines.
Exactly. Yeah. And so while you're in the shallow parts of water or while you're inside the swamps, they would randomly come out, attack you, pull you underwater. There'd be an animation for that, like the death claw animation. And after you get hit by the death claw or get picked by a death claw, there'd be an animation like that. And you have to fight them, but all you can see is the dorsal fin swimming. Or if you're out in the middle of the river or middle of the lake, then you have the bass that come to attack you.
Right.
But they're still considered lunkers, though.
So they're like big enough to like swallow your legs up and start to drag you into the water. And then you have to like try to like fend them off.
Or pull you underwater or just attack you in general. Big, sharp teeth, sores all over their body. It's a mixture. Like I would think they would be a mixture between industrial pollutants and like what we saw at the pit and radiation from the nuclear war. And this would especially, I could especially see this within Point Lookout and also the island from Far Harbor.
Sure. Okay. So I got another question for you.
Okay.
Are they mutated and the only thing is that they're bigger and more dangerous, or are there other aspects to them? Like do their fins work differently? Do they work? Do all of a sudden they've got arms, or like do their eyes bug out of their heads, or like do their teeth have their teeth different? Like
I could see the catfish lunkers, their dorsal, not their dorsal fins, their pectoral fins, which are the fins on their
front
sides
of their body.
Along the bottom of their bodies could be used to help them crawl up on land on occasion. So they might like come up onto the land and then grab a small creature and then drag it back into the water like an alligator.
Dog meat, no. Yeah. What if they what if they can eat your dog companion? If we're talking maybe future game or something, but your dog meat, right? They eat dog meat and then scurry back into the water. You have to dive in after them and like kill them and cut them open to get.
Here's the thing that I was thinking. Also, the harpoon weapons would be their. Like harpoon weapons would have like double or triple damage effect against them.
Yeah, an advantage. Right.
Yeah, yeah. And then also you could have little side games where you got fishing, but part of the fishing is you have to use live bait. And so you have someone swim out there with a harpoon gun or something like that. And you have to reel it back in.
Oh, man. Can you imagine be like, hey Nick Valentine, can you just swim out there for a minute? Don't worry, it'll be fine. It'll be fine.
Don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it. It'll be fine. And Nick, just trust me. It's cool. Piper, it's cool. Just jump in the water. Oh man.
And so that was part of it. And also, I would think the bass or what are those fish? The bear, like if it's Fallout 4 or. I mean, maybe not a Fallout 4, but probably if like we have a Fallout game that takes place around your home in Florida, where you have barracuda lungers instead, and so they have shark-like dorsal fins, and I would also imagine the bass would have much larger and protruding spines on along their body to make them seem much more dangerous,
right?
And to protect themselves from catfish lungers. And the same thing would happen to like gar or barracuda, where like their teeth would be emphasized, their snout would become more broad and more alligator-like. Right. So then they could attack. And so each bite is much more dangerous. And, you know, just like with the Mire Lurks, each one of the Mire Lurks has a special job or a special attack that they have. Mm-hmm. These would also have the same thing, but they would also approach you in different ways, or they would be found in different parts of the world.
Gotcha. All right, guys, what do you think about this one? What do you think about these Lunkers? Giant fish that just want to eat you, maybe crawl up on the land.
At least it'll give the harpoon gun an actual use, because I mean, as any time that I've ever played, I've never really used the harpoon gun because it just seemed pointless.
Yeah, it's not the most useful weapon, clearly.
It's fun, but yeah.
It's kind of like there are those kinds of weapons where you're just like, yeah, it's fun to have. I'm glad this is here, but it's not super useful. That's true.
It's a good display weapon.
Yeah, yeah. What do you guys think about these monsters? Do you feel like these would be a good addition? Like, is this scary?
I mean, it would add something more to... just look out for, because I feel like whenever you enter like a body of water, you're safe, other than from like the occasional Mire Lurk, but like,
or a little bit of radiation.
Other than like the radiation,
but that can be mitigated.
It would be nice to have like just another threat to look out for. And also, even if they just add like a simple fishing aspect, I feel like it'd just be, you know, a little more. But it's just something nice to add to the game, honestly.
Yeah.
So, because I don't know why I always enjoy the fishing in games.
Lots of people enjoy fishing games. I mean, they added it to Skyrim, what, like a year ago or whenever that was that they updated that game. So here's another thought, just to kind of go off on this a little bit. If the next Fallout we get has vehicles in it, or the vehicle tech from something like Starfield, then you could have boats, and then the Lunkers could attack the boats. Like if you're on a little fishing boat and all of a sudden you see one like take a big chomp out of the side of the boat, and you're like, oh god, all right, and then you got to fend off the Lunkers while on your fishing
boat.
Getting
Resident Evil 4 vibes right now.
yeah that could totally be a thing. I could totally see that.
I was thinking that would be another aspect, is, you know, just add more danger to the world. It makes it to where, because you can go swimming all day long in Fallout 4 and absolutely nothing's going to happen to you. You could also do the same thing in New Vegas, where you go out into the middle of Lake Mead, and that was the name of the lake I just remembered. You have the middle of Lake Mead, and there's literally nothing going to be there to attack you, though. But we know for a fact that massive catfish and massive fish would exist in these areas, and especially since what we've seen with all the other creatures in Fallout, it would only make sense that they get super sized and super dangerous.
Yeah, no, I totally tracks. I think this is a really good idea. So yeah, awesome.
It also gives credence to the existence of some equipment.
That's true. I mean, there was definitely you could tell that they were thinking about doing something more with the water and underwater areas in Fallout 4, and it just never happened.
Yeah.
But yeah, to this kind of flesh it out with creatures like this would make a lot of sense. So this is a great start. Good one to start us off. Who wants to go next? Who has an idea of something they'd like to add in? Germinator's ready to go. Hopefully everything works out good through the connection. Welcome. What are you thinking, man?
Yes. Sorry, I had to restart my tablet in the end. So as I mentioned in the Discord chat, Casseries.
Yeah. So explain this. This is an Australian animal.
Yeah, they're also found in Papua New Guinea and all those old Australian territories.
Mm-hmm.
But they are considered the world's most dangerous bird already.
Yeah, now, they kind of look like a dinosaur just looking at them, right?
They're about that age. they're more than 130,000 years old from what they found in fossils.
Mm-hmm.
Now imagine you add FEV to that.
Yeah, so let me describe this for people who don't have an image to go off of here. Think of a much more colorful like head, but on an ostrich style body, but not as bulky as an ostrich. Is that a good explanation?
And the feet, you gotta explain the feet.
Oh yeah, so the big claws, like big strong looking claw feet.
they're three fingered. The claws are usually, to put it in American size, it's about 3 to 6 inches long, depending on the age.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the claws on the end of the feet. Are
just the nails.
About a foot and a half. And that's what's most dangerous about them, because those legs, they're usually about 3 foot long on those birds. And then when they come chasing you, they can reach an excess of 25 miles an hour.
Yeah, two long legs.
And that's...
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's without FEV. Now imagine you add FEV to that.
Right. So, okay, so in your mind, what does the FEV do to a cassowary?
And think Deathclaw on steroids and Australian.
Okay, it's all right. I don't know what the last part of that means, but okay.
Imagine super tough hide.
Mm-hmm. Does it still have feathers? Does it still have feathers, or is it more like scaly dinosaur looking?
Yeah, but blotchy, like the seagulls you find in Fallout 4.
Yeah, so like blotchy, like little spots where it still has feathers, but it is not the bird doesn't fly anymore, right? This is not one of those birds that needs feathers for flight. So if it were to evolve and mutate in a direction, the loss of the feathers wouldn't do really much of anything. Other than make it look they can creepier. Already jump.
Yeah, they can already jump and climb into trees anyway, so.
Right. What about the head? Does the head change?
I reckon that beak will get longer and sharper as well. I reckon it should be able to tear limbs off a body straight off.
What if it... Okay, so like it has a face that looks very similar to, I don't know, a vulture or... something like that. It's got a big like crest on the front of its head, though, kind of like a dinosaur. But can you imagine that beak getting more needle? Like, not don't go in the direction of like Deathclaw, where it gets more like, I don't know, dinosaur looking. But what if it got like sharper and pointier, like a needle, right? Like,
well, it already opens up bigger than a pelican's beak.
Yeah.
So you could just about cut the human and power armor in half with it. After the FEV.
Yeah, there you go. That sounds very scary. Big strong neck, big crazy beak, big old claws on its feet. How big do you see this thing getting?
7 to 8 foot easy.
So like easily looking down at a person in power armor.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, this is intimidating.
You're gonna make it terrifying.
Yeah, no, that would be intimidating. This is an intimidating creature. All right, let's open this up. What do you guys think about a cassowary, a mutated cassowary? Who wants to chime in? Lil?
Okay, I know what a cassowary is. And dear God, just hearing the little bit that I know about them now makes them like on par with what they might become, like a Deathclaw type enemy, I feel like.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and so it's just like, I'm pretty down for this one because, yeah, they'd be an interesting addition to, like, just the Fallout universe.
Yeah, so, if ever we got, like a Fallout Australia, that would be cool.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Yeah, or just, like, or just, you know, like, they could just put it as, like, oh, there was cassowaries and, like, a zoo that got mutated and released and just, bred, like, wildfire.
Totally. Oh, so, my God. What if it was in a location that had, like, a famous type of zoo? Like, there's many cities in the U.S. that have famous zoos, right? And
yeah. And
the zoo had, like, different sections of the zoo that were from, like, different parts of the world. Right. So you had like the Australian section. So now you've got cassowaries and like crazy poisonous snakes and spiders or something from that section. Right. And then you've got like stuff from like Africa or wherever, just all these different places across the world.
You're describing the Henry Dorley Zoo right now in Omaha.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Yeah. You could totally have something like that. And then like, you know, you get into the zoo and you're like, oh, no, all of these pens are busted open, or some of them got moved back in by the creatures that mutated and wanted to go back to their habitats. That's a great idea.
They get scarier. Yeah. They get scarier because the Aborigines have been taming them for the last 18,000 years. So some of them are tame and they walk around with people and you hand feed them.
Right.
Now imagine if you had somebody like the Enclave use that to their advantage.
Or raiders. What if there was a raider group that was built around like taming things like cassowaries
God.
And riding on them? You could ride them.
God.
Like the little saddles on their backs.
Almost big enough.
Like a big mutated one. You could ride on it. Like a, almost kind of like a Gwar in Elder Scrolls or something
like that.
That's
terrifying.
Yeah.
That's terrifying. I'm going to have nightmares about that now.
Yeah.
That's... Even worse, imagine one in custom-made power armor like they did with Frank Horrigan.
You put the power armor on it. Yeah, there you go.
It'd be unstoppable.
Right. A little tank bird. Sebastian, did you want to chime in? Did you have something you wanted to share?
Yeah, birds are evil no matter what, because, I mean, I think I've been chased around by a goose or two. Chickens like to chase me.
Oh, yeah.
So I can only imagine something that big trying to chase me, because it's got to be instinctual in birds to chase humans.
Oh, there's something. Be. Yeah, I've been attacked by a goose before and it got pecked on the back of the leg. I think I've told this story on patron chats in the past. I was just wanted to feed the ducks. The thing chased me all the way around the lake with the circumference of a mile. It chased me all the way around the lake and then pecked me in the back of the leg. Anyway, but yeah, I can't imagine you'd outrun this thing, especially a giant one. Holy crap. Like, if that thing's 8 feet tall, it's probably running 40, 50 miles an hour.
Easy.
Oh, man. This is a good one. I mean, we've got some crazy creatures to start this off. Who would like to go next? Who wants to follow up the mutated cassowary? We've got Maverick. Maverick, do you have any ideas? Are you still here? Are we able to hear you? I don't know if sometimes things go in and out. Maverick, you there?
I am working right now. So just give me like 10, 15 minutes.
No problem. We'll get back to you after the mid break. All right. Sebastian or Bennett? Who wants to go next? Sebastian?
Yeah, I'll go. Since we're on the topic of animals, we have, and this is kind of more like a cryptid type animal, the Rougarou here that's native to Louisiana.
Okay, yeah.
It's basically just a giant werewolf. But if you can imagine something like that being irradiated, something like maybe two heads, a two-headed Rougarou is a terrifying thought.
So what's the mythology behind this? Do you know it?
Oh, Lord. A Rougarou is, like I said, it's basically like a werewolf. It's mostly a story that was told within the swamps to keep children, to keep them behaved and come home during the nighttime, because this was made up way back in a time before, you know, cell phones. So,
sure. Well, where is this from? What's the region?
It's around the bayous, like
Louisiana?
Louisiana, New Orleans.
Got it.
It's really big in New Orleans. Thibodeau, Grand Isle, all them things that are basically underwater.
Right, right. So a Rougarou. So does it work like a werewolf where like somebody can contract this or something and then turn into a monster on certain nights? Or is it just a monster that just lives out in the wild?
It's a monster that lives out in the wild. It's like a moss-covered, like a Spanish moss-covered wolf. I wouldn't say it's like a werewolf in the sense that it's it has like a disease and it transforms into one. Mm-hmm. It's just, it's got that kind of a body style of a wolf on hind legs.
Mm-hmm. With stuff hanging off of it, like moss and stuff. So part werewolf, part swamp thing.
Right.
Cool.
I would Google it, but I'm kind of on mobile.
No, you're good. You're good. That's a good enough description. So, I mean, this already is a scary thing because it starts off as a cryptid, right? And as we've seen with the other cryptids in Fallout 76, there's some sort of spin on it, right? Like the Mothman they're really just gigantic moths and they can like just disappear into the sky and then show up other places and kind of chase you down and do things like that, right? Or, I mean, there's a variety of them. We don't have to go over all of them. But something like this, I think you're right. Like taking it in the direction of, okay, like wolf man of the swamp and then two heads. Or, I mean, it's easy to say.
It's an amphibious wolf.
Yeah, it's easy to say like it just gets bigger, but you're thinking.
It can breathe underwater. Lunkers?
Lunkers, yeah.
It can be his main food source.
Oh, dude, the Lunkers and the Rougarou are like vying for the same little locations in the swampy areas and the low-lying lakes and stuff. And I mean, you see the water kind of move on the surface, and you're like, I don't know if that's a giant fish or if that's some sort of swamp wolf that's coming to get me.
Swamp wolf coming. I would, either way, I probably would turn my fan boat around and just head the other direction, because I'm not taking that chance.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense. I would imagine that it would also be like, if it's in the swamp, it's going to be like the color of the skin is going to be more camouflage for swamp areas. So kind of more green even, or like there's like, you know how some of the creatures in Fallout, like they look like they're just in really, they're like diseased, or they look like they're just, I don't know, they're sickly or whatever. I can imagine, like, you know, the patches of skin, kind of like we were talking with the cassowary, where you've got like patches of flesh and then patches of fur, but then certain parts of the flesh or the fur are like, I don't know, corroded or like have turned green from being in the water too much, or infected and kind of gross.
Ew.
Yeah.
Or even the moss fuses onto them somehow, because there's a lot of plant life fusing onto animals, like the mushrooms on the Megasloth.
Yeah.
So it could be the moss fusing onto it to create an even better camouflage than just colors.
Right. Well, a ghillie suit. That's what I was thinking. The thing that you wear, like snipers wear, it looks like, it's like a ghillie suit werewolf with like just like swampy junk just dripping off of its body. Yeah, that'd be, man, you don't want that thing coming at you in the middle of the night.
Oh, no.
That's great. This is a good one. Okay, let's open this up. What do you guys think? What do you guys think about this swamp wolf Rougarou? Any thoughts on this one? Any, you guys want to expand on this in any ways? Or Nova?
This sounds terrifying. Like, does it make sounds? Or all you hear is splashing as it walks? Does it have a howl like a werewolf would?
It howls like a werewolf.
Okay.
Although, I would think if we were to irradiate this, we would give it almost a howl underwater, a gargling howl, which would make it all the more creepy.
Yeah. Like, it just like, it peeks its little like nose, its snout up from the water and goes.
Is it associated with voodoo?
You could.
Well,
historically, is it?
I'm just asking if the legend is associated with voodoo or not, because that would be a very interesting plotline.
I don't believe so, but it is all within the same region, so we could easily.
Okay.
A Rougarou could have been made at a botched voodoo spell gone wrong in.
Sure.
So it's a supernatural monster.
Something like that.
What if, just lore.
What if they hunt in packs?
Ooh.
Like wolves. Or what if they're like little ones? Like you end up with like a den mother and then all of her little Rougarou offspring that are like come out behind her crawling up from the water.
That'd be scary.
I can see this as being more of an event where it's like, oh, it's the full moon or whatever. It's like, oh, it's the 29th, it's the 28th day or whatever. This is the full moon and they all come out. And so that would be either you have to fight and survive, or you have to hide and pray that you don't get found. Because if you get found, I can imagine like one howls then brings the rest towards you.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, yeah. Like they identify, like they patrol certain areas, and if one finds you, then the others get drawn in. I can totally see that.
Kind of like raptors.
Yeah, yeah. Ian, welcome. Ian's joining us as well. Any other thoughts on the Rougarou, the wolf swamp thing?
I'm going to have to stick with the whole Enclave mentality here. Is imagine a whole pack of them armored and basically radio controlled.
Weird. Oh, like the Enclave like stuck them in like metal suits and then somehow wired to their brains
or just armor plating on the critical parts like the limbs and completely wire out pain receptors.
Yeah.
It'd be the ultimate hunting. Like you'd raise entire settlements in a matter of minutes.
Right. Or what if this was like a disease? What if we go back to the idea that it's a disease that corrupts people and turns them into like a werewolf kind of thing? But the Enclave first takes people, sticks them in metal suits, wires it to their brains, and then turns them into werewolves and then controls them.
So it's an advanced FAV almost.
Yeah. It's their new super soldier, right?
That's sketchy as.
Yeah.
I still would have to say or go along with the voodoo, maybe not even a botched voodoo, but like a lover's scorn voodoo spell that now curses a generation of people. And it, unfortunately, this is kind of like a regional thing because there's not very many swamps. But like southeastern United States. Lost my train of thought here. But yeah, southeastern part of the United States. It's kind of a regional thing. Oh my goodness, it's going again.
Southeastern I'll United States. Okay, yeah. If it occurs to you, we'll tell you what. Go ahead, Nova.
I was going to say, like, if you're going to go with the voodoo thing, I could see this being a plot line for a small little settlement where just people seem to just randomly disappear. Mm-hmm. Like it kind of builds up from there, where it says we've seen these monsters that are lurking around the outside of our village at night, where we see their glowing eyes when you shine a flashlight over there, or it reflects from a torchlight, and then you go in, you find a voodoo mistress or whatever she would be, and she explains, oh yes, the people from this village killed my husband or killed all my children, and so they have to suffer the wrath of Miss something something something. I don't the wrath of Miss. I don't even know where.
Sure.
Like, where does voodoo origin from? I know it's the Caribbean, but what island is that again?
Oh, I don't know. Well, we'd have to. Is it Haiti specifically?
Yes.
I think. Hate. I hope if this happens, you can do the voice acting for this character.
Oh God! Please don't make me.
Yeah.
I can see it kind of going that way, where you know, like. The voodoo mistress, she had a tragic backstory because the people from this village killed one of her children, killed her husband, and so she curses this village with this monster she created through spiritual magic or something like that, or because she found a canister of weird gas that happened to fall out of vertebrate or something like that.
Right.
That
here, drink this, everybody. Drink this.
Yeah. Fancy my potion.
Yeah, yeah. That's awesome. That totally works. All right. Well, we need to take a break and thank our patrons, you guys, and everybody else who supports the show. And we'll be back because we got to talk to Bennett and Maverick and Ian, who just joined us, about what they would add to a future Fallout. So we'll be right back. All right, so everybody knows how VPN services and ExpressVPN can protect your privacy and security online, right? But did you know that there are some secret hidden benefits to using ExpressVPN, like unlocking movies and shows that are only available in other countries? So if you're like me, you probably enjoy watching shows on Netflix, for example. Well, with ExpressVPN, you can unlock the UK version of The Office. Or Parasite from South Korean Netflix. Over 100 different countries. All you have to do is change your location and refresh Netflix or whatever, Hulu, BBC iPlayer, YouTube, you name it. In fact, when I set it up for myself, I was surprised at how easy it was. It just installs and then loads up and works. And it works on more than just PCs, phones, media consoles, smart TVs, and so much more. So if you want to access hundreds of new shows, use my link right now, expressvpn.com/falloutlore, and you can get an extra 3 months of ExpressVPN for free. That's expressvpn.com/falloutlore, expressvpn.com/falloutlore to learn more.
At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place by working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies. We keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
Hello there, old chap. Good to see another of General Atomic's finest, still eager to serve.
All right, here we are in the middle of the show. This is where we get to thank our patrons. So all of these wonderful people and our newest patrons, Carla and Chris, which is one account, but two people, and Leonard M. Welcome to the Patreon. Thank you for your support. I'm so glad that you are here. And that brings us up to 73 current patrons. Thank you to all 73 of our patrons. And our Sentry Bots get shout outs every week. Dylan R., Larry D., and Leonard M., who is now a Sentry Bot. Thank you so much to all of you. And if you are interested in checking out the Patreon and ways that you can support the show and get cool stuff while doing it, including t-shirts or stickers or ad-free episodes or other stuff, or joining us on a future chat like this, then go to patreon.com/falloutlorecast and see if there's anything on there that you want to help support. So thanks again to everybody. And we also have a new review here. This one comes from Lord Darth Maul. 117. So Darth Maul has written, "Nukes away. Love this lore cast. Tom or Robots does such an amazing job making the lore topics interesting and captivating. I don't have a lot of time to play video games these days, and I truly miss exploring the wasteland for hours on my days off. Thankfully, I discovered this absolute awesome lore cast, and it is helping to fill the voids in my Fallout imagination. I recommend all of the Robots Radio lore casts as they're each uniquely fascinating in their particular realm. I have been following Tom's Fallout, Elder Scrolls, and Lord of the Rings lore cast since COVID, and they have been a huge help to get me through my long drives at work in an 18-wheeler, another trucker friend. Keep up the great work, Tom. Lord Darth Maul, thank you so much, and welcome, man. Welcome to the Germinator throwing his arms in the air. You're among friends here, so thank you so much for taking the time to do that. Those of you who leave a 5-star review and rating on Apple Podcasts will get read out on a future episode of the show. Also, you can rate us on Spotify and whatever other platform you're listening to on. So thank you so much for everybody and all of your help. Let's get back to the rest of the show, though. Here we go.
If you have any questions about Nuka World, I'd be delighted to answer them.
All right, let's move on. Bennett, are you ready? You ready to go? I'm getting a thumbs up. Bennett, if you were to add anything to a future Fallout game or an update for 76, what would it be? Are you going to go with monsters still? Is this going to be an all-monster episode? Or are you changing it up on us?
Well, you just mentioned that Nova should voice a character in the Fallout world.
Uh-huh.
Right? I think they should add a character voiced by you to the Fallout world. But in all seriousness, I'd add vehicles to Fallout.
Can I voice the vehicles?
That'd actually be kind of cool, you know? The vehicle had an AI like Kit from Knight Rider, but it was robots the truck.
I thought I would just make like broom broom and eep, squealy sounds for tires and stuff.
Your idea is better there.
Cool.
But
thanks.
Yeah. I love traveling the wasteland, but you know, to go from one point of the map to the other, mm-hmm. it's very inefficient unless you're fast traveling, then like you miss the immersion, you miss the random encounter. So let me hop in like my little truck, you know, with like the really long base because it uses the nuclear power instead of gas, mm-hmm. and just start driving. You know, some feral ghouls come up on me, I don't have to shoot them, I can just run them over.
Okay, so is this like a pickup truck? Is this like an 18-wheeler? Is this like a hodgepodge together death zombie apocalypse death machine? Like what does this look like?
So I'd like to think like a pickup truck,
okay.
personally. Ideally, I drive a minivan in the Fallout world, but a pickup okay. truck makes more utilitarian sense.
Probably.
Because I wouldn't be like picking up any little kids to take to school in the van.
Right. It's also less likely to get stuck really in the weird mud or, yeah, yeah. I hope you don't go just randomly picking up children.
I don't.
In the mornings.
A minivan would be utilitarian for that.
So if anybody's interested in going and pick, oh my God, if you have a, let's reframe that. If you have a family and are helping out other neighbors and friends, families, caravanning their children to school because you're a good member of society, then use a minivan. How about that?
That is what I was.
All right.
I was meaning cool. on that.
Cool.
But yes. So like a pickup truck.
So like an F-150 kind of like big four-wheeler kind of truck, I would imagine. You don't want to get stuck in the mud, right?
Yeah, like a big four-wheeler kind of truck, but in the Fallout style. I was Googling some pictures before we started, and there was like some cool ones with like Vault-Tec paint jobs or like mm-hmm. Nuka-Cola type paint jobs. But it looked like a good mix of like a retro truck from like the 1950s, you know, like that body style, but it had the elongated fronts like all the cars we see in the Fallout universe.
Right. So like your settlement, you can adjust your settlement and build different walls and stuff. Like, can you adjust like the panels on the truck? Put like
fully customizable
spikes on the wheels so you can like cut things as you drive past them, or fully customizable.
You
want
to put spikes on the front so you can just ram people.
Yeah. By the time you get to your destination, you've got like half a dozen ghouls just like stuck to your truck in different poses of death.
You can put a minigun mounted in the trunk bed.
Oh, yeah.
The truck bed. And like, you know, Preston Garvey can hop up in there and just fight for the Commonwealth.
Just mow down fools on the way to getting your groceries.
Exactly. Another settlement's in the need of your help.
Another settlement is in need of groceries. Let's go. Let's go, Preston. Get in the back. I love it. I love it. Let's open this up. What do you guys think? This has been one of those things that people have talked about for a long time. Why aren't there vehicles in Fallout? So then it's like, let's have a truck and you can customize it. What do you guys think? Terminator. Yeah, go.
I have something here that Maverick will like as well. You guys have probably watched Mad Max, right?
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, now imagine Mad Max trucks,
mm-hmm.
but road trains. So four massive trailers behind you. You could have a moving settlement.
True. True.
You could have dozens of people living on this war rig, so to speak. You could have the end trailer armored to the teeth, miniguns, anti-aircraft rockets like you see in 76 and that, and you could traverse the entirety of the US with a single load of fuel, unless you use atomic power, in which case it'll look even cooler because you'll have a 16-foot long bonnet.
Yeah, so it's like a land train or like a land ship, maybe even like all kind of consolidated all in one big long vehicle.
A road train.
Yeah All right. He just took Bennett's idea and expanded it even more. He put it on FEV. Bennett's giving a thumbs up. What do you think, Nova?
Well, that would be a very cool concept. But as Rose said, the traffic's at a standstill for the last 25 years. So good luck getting on any highway or freeway.
I would imagine that you would want to have, like, if you were doing some sort of like traveling across the country, you'd want to have some vehicles at the front that are like clearing stuff out of the way.
Yeah.
Like it would be, and over a certain amount of time, if enough different people were doing this across highways, most of the highways would be, you know, drivable at some point. They'd be full of potholes and all sorts of other wear, but at least you'd be able to get through them, I would assume. Yeah. So, yeah, that is a tricky thing, but I'm sure you could figure out ways of justifying that in the lore somehow.
Yeah, maybe. I think this would be a really cool idea, but I would just love to see actual trains as well. I think that would be an even better way to get around the wasteland than a car would, because it's a predictable path that you can easily maintain, and it's going to be a lot less maintenance to actually maintain it, though, because instead of having to constantly fill in potholes, you're basically just repairing rails.
Yeah.
And so steel is going to be a lot easier to come by than it would be to make cement, because you just pull steel off of a car.
Sure. Especially if you're only focusing on like one metropolitan area rather than getting mm-hmm. across the country, because you can maintain that one little section a lot easier. Yeah, that makes sense. All right. Any other thoughts on the truck specifically? Because we could probably do a whole episode about like, let's talk about vehicles and how you could do vehicles in Fallout. But let's talk about the truck. Anybody else have thoughts on Bennett's truck?
Trucks.
I have a thought.
Ian, go for it.
So, I've listened to some of the previous podcasts and everything. But I'm gonna take it.
Oh, you paused. It looks like you got frozen. I hope your internet connection is working. Ian, we can't hear you. All right, we might have to move on to Maverick. Maverick, what were you thinking?
So I do like the idea of Mad Max style death machine, but I would probably go with a smaller type, more mobile than something as big as what he's talking about. Just for the square fact of, if you look in Fallout 4, where are the roads?
Yeah, the roads are...
many roads.
Right, they're very difficult to navigate, absolutely. So you're thinking a smaller vehicle to get more around things.
Yeah, like the pickup truck. Like, do like a convoy of like pickup trucks, like SUVs.
Yeah.
Minivans. You can soup up a minivan.
Right. Okay.
Put a minigun on top of a minivan.
A minivan.
Yeah. That's all I would say. I think it's not a bad idea to add, but I just don't think we should go that big.
I gotcha. Let's go back to Ian. Ian, your internet connection kind of got messed up. What were you thinking? Are you able to talk? Are you able to chime in here? I don't know if this is going to work or not. You're muted. If you want to talk, go ahead and unmute and chime in.
Okay.
There you are.
Okay. I'm back. So I was listening to some of the older podcast episodes, and I just remembered the episodes with what was his name? It will come back to me later. But
Aperture Flash. Yeah, everybody likes to talk about Aperture Flash.
Aperture Flash.
Yeah,
Aperture Flash. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I remember him explaining like kind of like a it might have been Maverick, talking about like a courier line of maybe trucks.
Yes, I remember this. Setting up businesses and making your way in the future wasteland and setting up a basically connection of like trucking and courier across
the country. Yes. Yeah. I think that would work perfectly as long as you had like guards or something like that. You have guards like, mm-hmm. You know, you have a guard in each truck, you know, making sure that everything runs smoothly. And I think it would work. But at the same time, you would definitely need all terrain wheels because the roads are just.
Right. Everything's destroyed. Nobody's repaving the roads. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I agree. We could go into all sorts of different directions with this whole vehicle thing. So I want to make sure that we get through to time for the rest of you guys. But I think it's a hit, Bennett. You got a hit here with trucks and how you could use vehicles in Fallout, because everybody's going off on all sorts of different directions on ideas for that. So that's awesome. Maybe we should put a pin in that and come back to it on a future episode. And we could all think about like other ways that we could do vehicle stuff, because that sounds really cool.
That's a great idea.
Plus we could talk trucks with our trucker friends. Amazing. Speaking of trucker friends, Maverick, what did you want to add to a future Fallout game?
So I would like to add like more settlements, Fallout 4, there was that weird settlement that you had to go through the quest line for. Oh, I can't remember.
Very
the name.
Specific.
Diamond City?
No, not Diamond City.
It's about like island that's really big that after you like do some quest to clear it out, it's like the biggest settlement you can build.
No. It was like an NPC.
Like a city?
You had to take like a test to get into the settlement or whatever.
Oh, it's like the walled place where like the people were living and to get tests to get in. Like you have to sit down at the desk and you answer the questions and then they let you in. And yeah, I forget what the name of that is, but yes.
I can't remember the name.
More of that stuff? I think, that's what you want?
Yeah. Yeah. So there'd be more quests.
Covenant.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. Covenant.
So
maybe there's like a sinister backstory behind it. Like Covenant was.
Right.
Or weird.
So more like little community, like little villages or communities and things like that.
Yeah, more stuff out in the wasteland, not just stuff that you can build or like. I get buildings now a big thing in Fallout ever since Fallout 4.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think if you had pre-made settlement, you know, you can rent a room or something,
mm-hmm.
and then kind of like Megaton Covenant.
Sure.
Diamond City, sure. Rivet City, something like that.
Here's an idea. What if the next Fallout game is further along in the timeline and humans are now starting to repopulate? So now there's more people out in the world as you go around. You come across more of these like settlements and different communities, and they aren't necessarily all connected or part of the same ideology or whatever, right? Like each game has those, but you're saying let's expand that.
Yeah, let's expand upon it just a little bit more. You know, maybe go into some backstory between some of the settlers instead of just having like some weird. I know this would be a ton more work, but I think it'd be worth it.
Oh, sure. That totally makes sense. What do you guys think? What do you guys think about expanding on the settlement type of stuff? Bennett's giving a thumbs up. Some nods. Everybody's like, yeah, down with that. Lil?
It'd be fun.
I mean, I did enjoy like the settlement system to a point. I just feel like I was wanting more out of it at, when I was playing Fallout 4. But it would be nice to have another. I don't know the best way to put it. Just like another go at like, you know, the settlement system, because I feel like it did add something to the game. But maybe have a little bit more variety of like what happens other than just like having to like defend it every so often.
Right. Right. Yeah. You could. I mean, and there's mods that expand on that stuff, too. Yeah. I think Maverick's perspective is more of like the already populated by X number of NPCs at a location that you go visit and find out what's going on with the quests and the individual personalities, and less about like taking over a place and building on it and defending it. Right. Is that where you're going with that, Maverick?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
so more like NPC settlements with cool storylines and, you know, interesting characters to meet and that kind of stuff.
And I'm not against the building. I love building, but I think there's ever since they did implement the building system, I feel like there's less NPC settlements.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get that. I get that
from a certain perspective.
Yeah, it's this weird thing where like you play 3 or New Vegas and the world is generally pretty empty. But when you do come across a little community, you definitely come across a little community. Like there's something going on there, right? With these big open empty spaces. And I feel like, and I don't know if the statistics actually point to this, but in Fallout 4, it feels like, oh, this is a little house with farmers. No, it's a new settlement. Right. And it's like, well, that could have been something more than that, but you needed to give me places to build things. So it's a little farmhouse. That's kind of the vibe I got. And I think that's what you're trying to say, Maverick. I think expanding on this stuff absolutely would be cool. And maybe even more things like that popping up in 76 because the map is so big and there's all sorts of places. They got to leave room for you to build your own settlements and places. But it'd be cool to have other NPCs just showing up on places. But they've been doing that. They added the Nuka-Cola stuff, and you know, over time they've been adding more of those things, so I guess that is a thing that has been happening. All right, let's move on to Ian. If you were to add anything to either a future update of Fallout 76 or the next Fallout game, what do you think the games have been missing? What would they really benefit from having? We've gotten lots of like creatures. I think he might have frozen again. Oh no, internet problems. Internet.
Look, it's not me today.
It's not you today. Yeah.
Okay.
There you go.
I keep losing connection.
It's all right. We can hear you right now. So real quick, what would you add?
So I honestly would add a new location.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be in the Puget Sound, Seattle area.
Puget Sound?
Yeah, Puget Sound.
I mean, Puget Sound.
Yes.
Puget Sound. Okay. yeah. So
yeah.
Up in the Seattle Puget area.
Yeah, up in the Seattle area. Because I'm from Tacoma, Washington. So I think a Fallout game, like the next Fallout game, really should be taking place in that area. Because like, I wonder if like some of the nukes would change, like, you know, cause we got this, you know, big volcano in our area. And I'm wondering if the nukes would affect like an eruption or something like that.
Oh yeah.
Affect the landscape.
Right. It could be, it could look kind of like Morrowind does in Elder Scrolls, where you have like a big active volcano now that's just constantly fuming because somebody nuked it and the people have to like live around it. What do you think about that?
Yes, ooh, that's a good idea. You know, actually, I think my area, the place where I live would actually end up like Morrowind, actually.
Yeah, like all the soot.
Would be totally perfect for an Elder Scrolls Lorecast episode.
Yeah, there you go. All right. So what do you guys think? What do you guys think about setting the next game in a location like that with an active volcano?
Mount Rainier would be very pretty to look at from a far distance away, but very intimidating to be up close to, especially if it's smoking constantly.
Yeah. Yeah. Like lava flows and it's just kind of always smoking out there on the horizon. And what if it's a megaton situation where like one of the bombs set off near it and set it off, but there's another bomb like at the base of it or right at the top that's about to like teeter into the volcano, but nobody wants to touch it.
Well, what I was going to say is, like, what if it's still a nuclear winter up there, but that's caused because there's been so many eruptions from the volcano that it's, hello?
Yeah, yeah, that it's constantly like...
Yes, sorry, my computer froze for a second.
No, you're still good.
What if it's the nuclear winter kind of scenario where because there's been so many eruptions or Rainier has been constantly erupting, spewing so much ash that it's blocked the sun out from the entire area.
Yeah.
And so the entirety of Puget Sound is frozen over and well off into the Pacific too.
Yeah, no, that could totally be a thing. Ian, I have to mute you. There's a lot of weird sounds coming through. So if you're going to chime back in, go ahead and unmute yourself. Yeah, no, that's a cool idea. That's a cool idea.
And then you could also have your situation too, where you can make it 10 times worse with another nuclear bomb.
There you go. Yeah. Or just the threat of like, what if that bomb just goes in? Or what if the lava happens to get too close? You know, like what would happen?
Or it's just teetering on the edge. It's just right. Like one of those. It's a seesaw. Right on the edge.
You get up there 14,000 feet high. There's the hobo set up at camp using... using the bomb as a lean-to.
yeah that totally makes sense. And Lil, I guess I skipped over you. I didn't go to you. Do you want to add anything?
I'm a little scatterbrained tonight, so I'm not coming up with anything.
Okay, no problem. I mean, you've chimed in on some stuff, so
I'm putting in my two cents here and there.
Yeah, this has been a lot of really cool ideas. We're getting down to the end of the hour, so I need to let you guys go. I don't want to keep you too long, but some really fun ideas, guys. I think we could expand on some of these on some future chats too, and you know, definitely brainstorm some other stuff. But tell you what, we're going to wrap this up. We're going to go back through everybody in the order that I can see you on my screen. And if you have something that you are working on, some other content or something that you make that you want, or a business you run or something like that you want to share out there, feel free to do that. If you don't, you don't have to say, I don't have anything going on. You can just say, hey, thanks for being here. And this is how you can reach out to me if you want to reach out. Let's start with Lil Green. Lil?
Well, and as I always say, if anybody wants to reach out to me, you can get me on the Discord, or if you want to see me on Instagram, littlegreen_photography. I'm actually going out to Vegas next week.
Nice.
So I'll be doing some content dropping from there and maybe try and find a couple locations or two. Because actually, I am going to Prim.
Wow.
For something.
Oh, yeah. Very cool. Very, very cool. You take some pictures. Yeah, that's awesome.
Oh, God. Yeah, no, without a doubt.
Yeah, share the pictures. Post them on the Discord. We'd love to see those.
Of course, I will.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, thanks for joining again. And Sebastian, thanks for joining us. You got anything you want to share?
I run a little Facebook page right now that I'm trying to get off the ground. It's just a reviews and recommendations page for video games. I recently just did Hogwarts Legacy. So if anybody wants any recommendations on games, I play them so you don't have to, or so you don't waste your money on something that's terrible.
Cool. What's the name of it?
It's called Video Games Reviews and Recommendations. It's pretty simple right now. It's like I said, it's just getting off the ground.
Mm-hmm.
So it's nothing too special at the moment.
Well, cool. Well, good luck with that. It's, you know, it's always fun starting a new project and you never know where it's going to go. So that's awesome. Thanks for joining us again. And
oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Let's move on to Bennett. Bennett, you got anything going on?
What's up?
I'm sort of working on a YouTube channel that might be a TikTok, where I make meals out of video games. So it's a cooking channel.
Or you could do both. You could do YouTube shorts and then just also use them on TikTok.
That is true. That is actually a really good idea. Double up. I'm not the biggest fan of TikTok as a platform. I just think it makes more sense for the shorter videos.
Sure. So
that's a good idea.
Double up, put them on both.
Yes. Other than that, you can reach me on the Discord. You can ping me. I'm bad at responding during the day. I don't really check my phone while I'm working, but after work, I'll see all your notifications. Or if you really want to get in contact with me, you need to get a piece of paper, write a note with lemon juice, and flush it down your toilet, and I'll get back to you in one fortnight.
Weird. I don't know how that works at all, but that's amazing. Thanks for joining us. Nova, I know you got some stuff.
That's what he's saying.
He lives in the sewers. Yeah. Yeah. And he loves the taste of lemon compared to what usually goes down the toilet.
Well, lemon juice is invisible ink, and I'll light it with a lighter and you can see it. Okay. I'm not sure if it works after it's been exposed to toilet water, but we'll find out.
All right. Nova, what do you got going on?
The cooking channel will find out if your lemon survives being flushed on the toilet. I have a YouTube channel, Supernova Gaming. Nova's all capital and it's a zero instead of an O. And look for a dog icon, basically a character of a golden retriever, essentially. It is about Fallout mostly, but I'm going to other games. I might start doing Atomic Heart, I mean.
Atomic Heart, yeah.
And I'll also do gaming lore about what's Bethesda's I should know this. What's
Starfield? Bethesda's new game?
Starfield, yes.
There you go.
I will be also I'll also be diving into gaming lore about Starfield as well here in the future. I also have a TikTok, which is Supernova Gaming. On TikTok, where I just basically cut up each of my videos into chapters and I post onto there. Besides that, I'm almost done with my next video, which is over the actual map of Fallout 76 and all the different interesting locations and a lot of the lore behind it, but kind of downsized to be not an hour and a half long, so it's a reasonable sized video.
Right. Nice. Yeah. You gotta do that with YouTube. That's true.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, thanks for joining again.
Yep. Always a pleasure.
All right, Maverick, you got anything else going on? I know you got some shows.
I do have a couple. I have one confirmed. It's the Fallout Roundtable. I host that along with four other people. We are starting to release weekly starting next Monday.
Awesome. That's great.
I personally starting to develop a story-based podcast about a zombie apocalypse called The Tales of the Apocalypse. It won't be out for maybe another year or two, but me and a bunch of other people are starting to form ideas, form episode, plot, characters, all that fun stuff.
Yeah, kicking it off. That's awesome.
Yeah. And if you want to get a hold of me or if you want to get a hold of the Fallout Roundtable, I would highly suggest you would go to @FalloutRTB on Twitter. Or if you want to get a hold of me personally, I think you need to go to the tallest mountain that you can find. Light a fire.
Mm-hmm.
Smoke signals. I will find them wherever I am in the continental 48 United States.
That's amazing. You guys are all amazing in your ways of communicating. Thanks, Maverick. Germinator, you got anything else going on? Can we reach you with smoke signals or do we need to put lemon flavored paper down a toilet?
I'm unfortunately considering on the other side of the world, neither of those two are an option. However, you are welcome to launch an ICBM and land it on the Montebello Islands, which used to be a nuclear testing site. I'll get the idea and I'll try and head up whoever launched it.
Wonderful.
At the moment, I'm in base.
As long as you're not arrested by international authorities by that point, but sure. Great.
Oops.
Oops.
But at the moment, I'm just running a GoPro in the truck and basically just recording my entire trip from Perth via Adelaide to Kununurra, which usually Perth to Kununurra is only 2,900 kilometers or about, I think it's 1,600 miles or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Are you doing this for like a project that you're going to put up somewhere?
Well, no, this is on the side to driving for a living anyway.
Yeah, you're just kind of doing like it for fun, or are you gonna like post this up somewhere?
I'll probably end up posting it up on YouTube as a fast-forwarded video.
Yeah, like edited down all the highlights, that kind of thing.
Yeah, basically, or just do the whole thing in a what's it called when you fast forward a video?
Yeah, like fast forward, like yeah, four times the speed or whatever, and so you're like, yeah. Oh, that's cool. That's a fun idea. That's really cool. Awesome. Well, thanks for joining us again. Anything else you want to share? You good?
No, that's about it.
All right. Awesome. And then Ian, you're closing it up. Ian, thanks for making it. You jumped in here before the end. I'm glad you were able to make it. The internet held out a little bit. Anything you want to share?
I do stream every day. Odin, the Hood and Wood, 93, all one word, no spaces. I think, yeah, I do come into the Discord promoting my stuff usually. And the other way you can reach me is Facebook by the same name, Ian Hedges.
Cool.
So, and I recently actually just beat Hogwarts Legacy in the story mode, so
nice.
I actually just streamed that, so like last night. But those are the two ways you can get a hold of me. Or you could
you're coming up with something.
I'm coming up with something. You could read my name within the runes, and I will come through you in a spectral form.
Wow. Oh, okay. Now this is getting spooky, man. Well, thank you for joining us, and good luck with your live streams. Thank you everybody for joining us. And if you would like to contact any one of these people through their very strange methods, let me know how that goes, because you could just talk to us on the Discord, but you know, there's more fun ways to do it. So good luck with that. Thank you everybody for joining us. And you guys know what I do and where my stuff is, robotsradio.net. If you want any of my other shows or any of the other shows on the network, any of that stuff. But thank you for being here. Live chat, thank you for being here as well. And especially the patrons, thank you for your support and for joining me and having a blast. I'll be back next week with a regular episode. And hopefully a lot of us will be back at the end of next month for the next patron chat. So we'll see you then. Stay safe out there. See you guys later. To plug into everything else we're doing, check out robotsradio.net. Reach out to me on Twitter @robots_radio. Check out the Robots Radio Rocket Club, where you can join me and a bunch of our other creators creating your podcast, starting a new podcast, or helping your current podcast grow. There's more information about that on robotsradio.net as well. And you can always talk with us and the entire community, over 2,000 people on the Robots Radio Discord. Come join us. We'd love to chat with you. See you guys next time.
Question: have your thighs ever rubbed together, creating a rash because of friction? Chafe is no joke, but thanks to MegaBabe, it's also no problem. Thigh Rescue is the anti-chafe stick made for chafers by chafers. Get MegaBabe's Thigh Rescue and experience what 10,000 five-star reviewers rave about. Thigh Rescue stops chafe. With one sold every 30 seconds, you better run to megababebeauty.com.